When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to Profoundly Pointless. My name is Nick. Coming up in this episode, we're going to look at the life of a celebrity impersonator. And then we're going to look at the top five mistakes that you know are going to be a mistake, but you keep doing it over and over and over and over and over.
I started doing Lady Gaga, and then most recently I started doing Taylor Swift and Marilyn Monroe. So it's just become this whole, you know, crazy ride that all started with one lady who called my mom. You almost have to be better than the celebrity, because you have to remember, you know, the celebrity is to their celebrity stardom because of how fantastic they were. And to be an impersonator, you almost have to be just as good, if not better, for an audience to be like, whoa, that's awesome. Okay, so here's Britney Spears. Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know?
Like, who's got the bigger problem if they sit down in the toilet and a snake is in there? Does the man have the bigger problem? Does a woman have a bigger problem?
I want to ask, is there anything that you think you do on a regular basis that is exceptional?
No.
I will usually wait one light cycle, and then if, like, it turns green again and you don't go, then I'll start honking at you.
Are you serious? You're going to wait a whole – you would sit behind somebody for a whole light and not honk? I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We really appreciate it. It really helps us out. Our first guest has been Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Lady Gaga, Faith Hill, and Marilyn Monroe. This is celebrity impersonator Christina Shaw. She's got – an awesome show in Las Vegas. And one thing you really got to check out is hear her sing as all of these different celebrities in this interview. How did you get started in this?
My mother owned an entertainment company in Philadelphia for years and years and years, even before I was born. So once I got older, I started performing with my mom. She used to do all kinds of costume characters and fun events like that for children's birthday parties. So we got into doing Barbie, and she would bring me along and I would do Skipper with her at children's birthday parties. So that went on for a couple years. As I got older, a mother called my mom and said, hey, my daughter loves Britney Spears and we're looking to throw this like party revolved around Britney Spears. Can you provide anything like that? So basically my mom's wheels got turning and she was like, well, my daughter can sing and she can dance. And I don't know, let's see if we can put something together. So we basically put together this 45-minute show of entertaining the children, where I'd put makeup on the kids and teach them a dance routine and I would sing them songs, and you know, this whole party revolved around Britney Spears music. Then we realized, wow, this is actually a business. Like, being an impersonator is actually a business. So then we realized what this huge, like, small, big, little industry this was. Then I did Britney Spears, I did birthday parties for years and years and years, and then I started to do it nationally. Once I got to be 18, I started to actually travel. I added stars like Christina Aguilera, then I added Faith Hill, and about 6 years later, I started doing Lady Gaga, And then most recently I started doing Taylor Swift and Marilyn Monroe. So it's just become this whole, you know, crazy ride that all started with one lady who called my mom and asked for a service like this, and we had no idea, and it all stemmed from her. And I'm actually still in contact with her. Her name is Jill, and she's a very sweet lady.
Isn't that crazy how one person can say one thing and it just completely changes the course of everything?
Of your entire life. I know. It's absolutely amazing. And she's actually seen me perform a couple times, which is like in my later years, which has been such a blessing to see her in the audience and be like, wow, like, you know, you made that. If you didn't make that phone call, my mother and I say to this day, we don't know if we would have figured this out.
Now, was it when you started doing it, did you like those specific people, or was it, I look kind of like this person, I can do this one?
Well, I actually don't look anything like Britney Spears, but I have this weird talent where I can change my voice to sing like them. So I was always a mimicker from an early age. I would always mimic voices and all kinds of things. And being a singer and a dancer, I would watch Britney and I would watch Christina and Mariah Carey, and I would try to sing like them because that's all I knew how. You know, at that point in my life, I wasn't taking any singing lessons or anything like that. So I would just watch and learn, and that's how I would learn to dance, and that's how I would learn to sing, is watching Britney. And I just learned how to mimic her voice. So I guess that's, my mom would see me do that, and when that lady called, she was like, oh, well, wait a minute, I think my daughter can probably do this, and we figured it out that way.
Was that the backyard variety shows that you're talking about, that you says about in your bio?
No, that was actually even before that. I mean, I was always singing and dancing. This was, you know, before Britney came out, like when TLC, you know, was real popular. Me and my girlfriends from back home would learn the dance moves to the Waterfalls song, and we would like charge $5 admission to have all the kids from the area come in the backyard, and we'd put on a show and stuff for them. But that's even before that.
Wow. Just kind of always in it. When you started doing it for the kids, did they know that you weren't the real thing, or?
Well, a lot of the times the mothers would call and they would say, like, you know, we want to fool the kids. And right away we would say, well, my mom would say, because I was like 16 at the time, my mom would always talk to the parents, but she would say right off the bat, like, we're not in this to fool your children. We don't want them to think, or like, we're trying to get around, you know, that you're Britney Spears. We don't want to do that. We more wanted to make it like, so I would start off by basically saying like, hey, like, do you know who I am? And the kids would say, like, Britney Spears. And I'd be like, well, I'm not the real Britney Spears. You guys know that, right? And they'd be like, yeah, because they're smart enough. They'd be like 6, 7, 8 years old. They would know. And they'd say, yeah. And, you know, and I would say, well, I'm a Britney Spears impersonator. Does anybody know what that is? And most of the time, one of the kids would raise their hands and say, you sing like her, or you think you're her, or you dance like her, or something like that. And I'd be like, exactly. You know, I sing and dance and act just like the real Britney. Don't you guys think that's so cool? And they'd be like, yeah. And then I would start the show. So I feel like they appreciated it more that they knew that I wasn't trying to get around them and get, you know, try to fool them. Like, yeah, I'm really Britney. And even if you would try, because, you know, there would be those moms that would be very adamant about it. And we'd be like, okay, fine. There's always that one kid that would be like, you're not the real Britney. And it's like, you want to look at the mother and be like, I told you.
Did you hate that kid, or did you appreciate that kid?
No, I mean, I don't hate the kid, but you almost just want to say to the mother, like, these kids aren't stupid. Like, yeah, they're children, but they still know. They know the real Britney Spears is not going to come to their birthday party.
I have two boys, even at their ages. Like, there's no fooling them. You right. Cannot get anything past them, even at their ages.
Exactly. They just know. They know.
It kind of makes me wonder what makes us dumber in later in life. So then how did you kind of go from the more local stuff? How did you go to the nationwide and performing in Vegas?
Well, so from doing birthday parties, we would start – once I turned 18, I started submitting to agencies around the United States. And my mother got in contact with lots of the agencies in Vegas here and just all around that have been in the business for a while. And she would have conversations with them over the phone about the business. And, you know, they would give my mom tons of insight, and my mom would learn how much to charge and how to do it and how to write a, you know, contract for these big events and stuff like that. So I slowly started doing bat mitzvahs, sweet 16s. I would travel to New York. I would travel to Boston, New Jersey, basically the tri-state area. I grew up in Philadelphia. So basically the tri-state area was where I would do gigs. And my dad would drive. My mom would have the directions from MapQuest, because, you know, back when, you know, in the early 2000s, there wasn't cell phones with GPS on them yet. They were fairly new. So my mom would have the piece of paper and, okay, turn left, turn right, and I'd be in the back seat just singing along, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, and it would just be like this big family fun event. And we used to have so much fun in the car, the three of us, just traveling to these gigs. And then I had the opportunity to go to the Cayman Islands and perform as Faith Hill as my first, like one of my very first out of, like, really out of town, like, or I had to travel. And I brought my singing teacher, which was pretty cool. And shortly after, I went to New Orleans to perform as Christina Aguilera, and I was, I think, 20. I couldn't even drink. I remember me and my dad and I were on Bourbon Street, and I couldn't even have a drink. We were walking around, and it was so fun. It was fun, but I wasn't even old enough to appreciate it.
And then how'd you get to Vegas?
It's most singing impersonators strive to be in Legends in Concert. That's kind of like the do-all, end-all, like, you've made it if you went to Legends in Concert. So I had auditioned for years, and a lot of the times they would tell me, you're too young, you're too young, you're too young. So then once I got to be about 24, 25, they started taking me a little bit more seriously. And I had was here for an impersonator convention. They actually have conventions for impersonators. All the impersonators get together and agents. It's actually pretty cool. So I was here for an event, and they wanted me to audition as Christina Aguilera. And I was like, great. So I had all my stuff. I went over. I was already here in Vegas. What, not living. I was just here for the convention. I went over to their offices and auditioned. And they were like, great. We're about, you know, so about 6 months later, they called me. They said, okay, we're ready for your act. Let's collaborate and figure out what songs we want to do and costume changes. So that was in 2010. They moved me here temporarily to be in the show for 3 months. And then I went to Foxwoods, Connecticut, to perform with the show there for about 2 months. And then I went home to Philadelphia, and I was working at a car dealership that I'd worked at for, you know, since I've been 16, 17 years old. Went back to the car dealership, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I just had this awesome experience, you know, in Vegas. And my mom was like, why don't you move to Vegas? And I was like, oh, wow, like, I maybe, but I mean, I don't have a job, but let's try it. So my mom was like, listen, my mom and dad, they're the sweetest things. They were like, you know, you should try it. And if you don't like it or it's not for you, you can always come home. And I was like, you know, that's when they said that, it was so comforting. And I was like, you're right. So I packed my bags. I had no job. I came here. I actually did have a meet and greet job as Lady Gaga lined up already. So it actually worked out within 3 weeks working or moving here. Within 3 weeks, I had a gig. So I was like, all right, at least I have one gig already, you know? So I had that gig. And from there, it just kind of cascaded into gigs upon gigs. And then I've learned other things that I could do here in Vegas, dancing, singing with bands, emceeing that I do now for slot tournaments, and all kinds of football events and pool parties and things. So I didn't realize how many awesome, amazing opportunities there were. So it was literally the best decision I ever made, to say the least.
One of the themes that seems to kind of resonate throughout a lot of our episodes on this podcast is people who take these big risks,
yeah,
and it ends up paying off. And then,
yeah,
there's people who don't take the risks, and they're kind of stuck in the same place. What was it that finally motivated you to just, all right, I'm doing it?
I think the whole Legends in Concert thing, and then from coming home from that, I was like, wow, that was such an amazing life, and that's what I want to do. And I'm like, why am I working at this car dealership and going nowhere? And honestly, I had a boyfriend at the time, and we had broken up around the same time. And that's when my mom was like, well, what are you doing here? You have nothing holding you back. You have no kids. You have no husband. you know, your friends and your family are here, but take the leap and do it. And I feel like it was scary, but why not? I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And, you know, in situations like that, it's like it really teaches you, and it makes or breaks you, you know, because you can go into it with a bad attitude and that's not gonna take you anywhere. You know, you have to go into it like full force, like, let's try this, with a great attitude. And I feel like if you do that and you have that support behind you too, was very, you know, very great with my parents too. You know, it, basically when they said those words to me, I was like, you know what, you're right. You know, you could always go back to what you were doing. And as soon as they said that, it was just like a weight lifted off my shoulders. Like, all right, let's do it. And even though, you know, you have those first couple weeks where you're living in what I was living in, with like a roommate and an apartment, and I was like eating oodles and noodles, you know, and like, oh God, like the first 3 weeks, like, I hope this was the right decision. But, you know, it eventually, you know, within a couple weeks, a couple months, it turned around and I got a job. And then that job got me another job.
I guess the question that I have about it is more of like a technical question. Do you have to pay them royalties? Like, how do you can just impersonate somebody, or do you, like, how does that work?
Most of the shows that I do, they do pay a fee to do the songs, to, you know, to use the songs. When I do corporate events and little things like that, I don't have to do anything like that. I mean, unless I get a cease and desist letter from Lady Gaga herself. But the impersonators, or unless the celebrities don't like impersonators, which I have heard that before, you know, I have heard horror stories like that, but most of the time they don't pay no mind to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I mean, we're not making millions and millions of dollars off of them, you know?
No, I would imagine it just kind of increases their reputation. But I have to ask now, the horror stories, like, what have you heard?
Well, you know, just basically cease and desist letters, you know, that the artists would send and be like, you know, we don't like that you're doing this, or why don't you do your own thing and stuff like that. People ask me all the time, like, have you met, you know, you're the people that you impersonate. And I actually have just met Christina Aguilera, and it was scary. It was, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, do you tell them? Do you not tell them? Like, how are they going to react? And they could react negatively, and you have to be prepared for that. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go in this, you know, and basically I want to tell her, you know, like, I'm not going to tell her. So, but the way I kind of approached it, I kind of said, you know, hey, I have a show down the street, or, you know, in the theater right next door, where I impersonate Lady Gaga. And how I got started was I impersonated you for years and years, and I still do, kind of thing. So it's like, well, so I kind of like went about it in a roundabout way. Like, you know, I'm impersonating Gaga right now, but I also impersonate you. So it's not like I'm in your impersonator and I'm obsessed with you. Like, obviously I didn't want to come across like that.
What did she say?
She was actually very, very sweet. She was like, I love that. That's so cool. Oh my God, that's so great. That's so great. And then I said, I actually got started by impersonating you. And, you know, I would sing like you and dance like you. And that's how I got started in my career. And I just said, you know, thank you so much. And she's like, oh my goodness. She's like, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. She kept saying thank you. And she said, that's so cool. I love that. So seemed like she was on board, and she liked the fact that I did impersonate her. So that was like refreshing to hear.
For you, and I guess for other impersonators too at the same time, are most of you, do you want to just be impersonating somebody, or is the dream to kind of take this and then eventually do your own thing?
Everyone's different, obviously. For me, I genuinely enjoy being an impersonator. I love the joy on people's faces when I sing like other people and I dance like them. And I personally love it. I love that if you say sing like Christina Aguilera, I can sing, or Britney Spears, I can change my voice and sing like Britney. Now, not saying if someone were to knock on my door and say, hey, I want to offer you a record contract, I would say no. I have lots of friends who have been in the singer-songwriter, singing, working in LA scrubbing tables, stories of them scraping gum off the bottom of a chair, literally just to record their next single. And where does that go? I don't know. To me, it's just a lot of work for how much reward are you going to really get? To be famous, to me, is you have to be at the right place at the right time. And hey, if it happens for me, that's great. But I'm not going to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars trying to get a manager and struggling in LA and working as a waitress. Like, no, that's not me. I genuinely enjoy what I do here in Las Vegas.
When you perform in an audience, does the applause, though, does it feel like it's for you, or does it feel like it's for the person that you're impersonating?
Well, I mean, it's I'm impersonating them, so they're applauding for the person, which the person is me. At the end of the show, people will come up and say, you know, you have a great voice, or you sound just like Lady Gaga, which is the highest compliment I can receive from singing like Lady Gaga, is to sound like her. I mean, Lady Gaga is an amazingly talented artist. So if anyone were to say I hit the, you know, the nail perfectly, then that is all the affirmation I need that I did a great job. So I mean, they're still applauding for me. You know, they're not applauding for like a silhouette or something. It's still me. I'm still a person, you know?
No, I understand. That makes sense. But your headlining is Lady Gaga, right? Right now?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm in a show over at Planet Hollywood. It's called Blonde Invasion. And it's a tribute to Lady Gaga, Madonna, and Britney. And I just do Lady Gaga, and then we have Katie Murdoch as Britney Spears, who has been in Legends in Concert also, and Cody Alexander, who is Madonna, and she has also been in Legends in Concert. And all three of us work six nights a week at the show. It's a 7 p.m. show, and it's awesome. It's we have four male dancers. It's high energy, about hour and 10-minute show, and we take turns going back and forth doing sets, and I also play the piano. I do a couple numbers on the piano as Lady Gaga, and it's an amazing high energy show, and wow, it's doing great. So we're having an amazing time. We're just enjoying every minute of it.
Would that be the biggest thing, so to speak, that you've ever done?
One of the biggest things. Yeah. When I was in Legends, you know, obviously it's a huge opportunity, but my face wasn't on these huge billboards like it is now. And it's really cool. Like, my face is on the marquee right out front of Planet Hollywood, front of the theater. I have a billboard on the strip that like drives up and down the strip with our faces on it, advertising our show. So it's really cool. It's been awesome. And when I was in Vegas for Legends, which was 10 years ago, I didn't have as many friends as Vegas as I do now. Obviously, I live here now, so I have tons of friends and family here now. So it's really cool to have them come to the show and see me.
Would I be surprised at how much it is? Like, do you make a pretty good living, or is it kind of roommates and noodles, or is it penthouse and valet parking?
It's in the middle. I mean, there's some people who solely are impersonators, and there's some people like me who hustle. Like, I love having 800 jobs. I love it. I love being busy. I love pushing myself and trying new jobs. And, you know, I always tell my agents all the time, hey, if you need somebody to do something and you don't know where who to call, I was like, you call me. They'll say, hey, can you do this? I'm like, yep, I'll figure it out.
Who is your favorite person to impersonate?
So people ask me that all the time, and it's so hard to pick one because they're all different. So I'll tell you the reasons why. Like, I love doing Britney because I like dance and making my voice sound like a robot. And I like doing Christina Aguilera because I get to just wail, just sing my heart out. I don't necessarily have to worry about, like, just a little bit of dancing. So it's fun, but just a little bit of dancing, but more just, like, riffing. And Gaga is a little bit of everything. Gaga is full out dancing, full out singing. She loves her fans, so very just interactive with everybody. And then Faith Hill is just stand there and sing. And I don't have to be out of breath. I don't have to crazy riff. So they're all different. and they're all fun to do.
Do you have a least favorite?
No. No, I love them all the same. If I had a least favorite, I wouldn't be impersonating that person.
Anybody that you tried to do, though, and you were like, oh, wow, this isn't working?
No. I mean, I've had some celebrities where I've done them and then let them go. Like, for instance, Jessica Simpson. Like, back in the early 2000s, she was huge. And I would, you know, she had her song With You that was real big. And I would do events as Jessica Simpson. But now Jessica Simpson doesn't have any music. There is no draw for Jessica Simpson. So, not saying I dislike doing Jessica Simpson, there's just no pull for her anymore. So, like, there's been countless celebrities that I have impersonated that just kind of fizzled out because they fizzled out as an artist themselves.
This question may come out of kind of left field a little bit, but I actually know somebody that kind of did this a little bit, so I'm wondering if you have ever had this experience. Quick background, I worked with someone at one point in my life that basically had an Elvis impersonator fetish that she loved Elvis impersonators. She always tried to date Elvis impersonators. Yeah, every boyfriend was an Elvis impersonator.
That's odd.
It was, yeah. Have you ever ran into anything like that?
No, not at all. I haven't had any weird, you know, odd things happen. When I was first starting, somebody found my Faith Hill picture on like a dating website or something. And that was like the most, I think that's one of like the most scandalous things that's ever really happened to me as an impersonator. I've never had anything odd like that happen.
If like somebody's getting into the impersonator business, is there somebody that people consider like, ooh, this is the best person to impersonate? Is there like a best person and a worst person at all in that kind of industry?
No, there's more, it's who's popular. So if you look like someone, like if you look like Jane Fonda, that's awesome. But is there a big draw for a Jane Fonda impersonator? No. You want people who are uber celebrities. You want, you know, those really, really popular celebrities. Other than that, it's great that you look like that person, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get work as that person.
There's not like an echelon, so to speak, of impersonators. Like, hey, if you can be Elvis, you be Elvis. And if you can be Carrot Top, like that's, you don't want to do Carrot Top or anything like that.
Right. I mean, maybe there is a Carrot Top impersonator. I don't know. I don't know how much that person would work. I mean, impersonators like that, it's more like it's not their main job. It's yeah. Like, hey, maybe they'll get one gig a year.
Have you ever, any times that either you've been or ran into anybody else where you thought that the impersonator was actually better than the real thing?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. 100%. I mean, for instance, our Britney Spears in the show, she's incredible. Like, our Britney Spears actually sings live. So there's an example right there. Like, a lot of Britney impersonators, you almost have to be better than the celebrity, because you have to remember, you know, the celebrities got to their celebrity stardom because of how fantastic they were. And to be an impersonator, you almost have to be just as good, if not better, for an audience to be like, whoa, that's awesome. And for instance, our Britney Spears on our show actually sings. And when's the last time the real Britney Spears actually sang and danced at the same time in a show?
That's such an interesting aspect of something that kind of fascinates me, is that making it, quote unquote, really doesn't have that much to do with talent, I've always felt. It's just...
Right, and exactly. And it goes back to just what we were talking about earlier. It goes back to, if you're just in the right place at the right time and know the right people and have the right amount of money, or maybe not, right amount of money or not, but you be in the right place in the right time, man. Example A, Britney Spears. I'm not saying she's not talented. When she first came out, she was very talented. You know, she could sing, she could dance. I think, you know, stardom got the worst, you know, got the best of her, basically. But
can you give us like a singing example of the different voices or anything like that? Is that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
All right. So I'll do a little bit of all my artists. So, okay. So here's Britney Spears. Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know? There's Brittany for you. And
holy shit, that's good.
You're so funny. I will do some Faith Hill. I don't want another heartbreak. I don't need another turn to cry. No, I don't want to learn the hard way. Baby, hello. Oh, no. Goodbye. But you got me like a rocket shooting straight across the sky. Okay, I'll do Poker Face. I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Love game, intuition, play the cards with spades to start. And after he's been hooked up, play the one that's on his heart.
Now, did you, were you always kind of just able to do that? Or did you have to have specific training to like, all right, you deepen this, you, I don't even know musically necessarily how to explain it. But basically, did you learn it or did you, were you trained to do it?
No, I just, it's, it was just some weird talent that I have. Basically, I can listen to someone sing and then change my voice to sound like them. So no, I wasn't trained. I mean, I was, I'm actually trained to be a singer, so, you know, proper, you know, breath control and how to sing properly, but the whole voice contorting is basically my talent.
That's crazy. What's the deal with fantasy football?
Yeah, that's another avenue of my life. I'm a huge fantasy football player and advocate and podcaster. Me and one of my best friends, Kenny Davidson, he's also an entertainer, piano player here in town, an amazing singer. We have a podcast, and it's called Our Vegas Fantasy. And yeah, we talk about, you know, before fantasy football, we talk about all things about drafting and players and draft positions and stuff like that. And then during the year, we talk about points and scores and fantasy football production and not so production and all that great stuff. So, yeah, we sing on the podcast a little bit. So we have jingles for each of our segments because, you know, we're both singers and musicians. So it adds another quality of our podcast. So, yeah, we just so we're going to start that up back up again because football season's coming back up in a couple months. But we're actually going to record our first episode in 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks.
Let me put you on the spot. Who are you drafting number one? If you got number one pick,
oh my God, I don't even know yet. Oh, geez, I haven't even dove into the fantasy football realm yet.
I know.
Are you a fantasy football player?
I have consecutively managed to get last in every league I've ever been in.
Oh no!
Well, little disclaimer is once I realize like I'm not winning, I don't care. Like I'm not fighting for ninth. Does that make sense?
Well, that's the thing. You should. You can't just give up.
That's my way of life.
I want to thank Christina Shaw so much for joining us. If you want to connect with her, we have linked to her on our social media accounts. We're Profoundly Pointless on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There you can see her as all of these different celebrities, and you can also find out more about the show she's in Vegas right now. Okay, so now let's go ahead and give John Shaw a call, and I think that let's just do something different. Let's just try something different.
Hello.
Just you go ahead and start.
So Nick, how's your week been?
That's how you're going to start. No one cares about my week.
Everyone cares about you.
No
you're
one
the
does.
Star of the show.
I don't even care about my own week. That's how you're going
to
look. I knew this was going
to
be a bad idea. I thought that like, you know what? Let's see if John can drive, so to speak, and you got nothing.
I mean, I didn't prepare to drive. I can drive the bus any day of the week if you want me to.
Well, except for today, apparently.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. You walk into your house. Would you rather have a bear sitting in the living room waiting for you or a snake when you opened up the toilet lid?
Oh, just when I thought he had nothing, he comes back. Honestly, I'd take the bear. I take the bear because the bear might be busy doing its own thing. Like maybe it's in the pantry. It could be eating. He's kind of coming into your territory, so he might leave you alone. If you got the snake under in the toilet, like the only thing that snake is doing is biting something that's important to you.
I mean, now I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that you see the snake, so you're not sitting down. But like,
you open up the toilet lid, and there's a snake just hanging out.
I honestly don't even think it matters what kind of snake it is. I wouldn't be like, oh, that's an Eastern reticulated python. No big deal.
That's a diamondback rattler right there.
Better run. Better run. They always go straight for the genitals.
So let me ask.
Who do you think is more vulnerable to, like, who's got the bigger problem if they sit down in the toilet and a snake is in there? Does the man have the bigger problem? Does a woman have a bigger problem?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I don't feel like we're really qualified to answer this. I mean, I feel like it would be us, but what do we know about women? That's for.
I think it's even, to be honest, because let's be honest, your ass takes up like 95% of the toilet seat anyways.
That's interesting. See, but I think that men have more real estate that might be lower hanging for the snake to get, but the man's ass is also probably bigger, so would be better at blocking the snake from getting to it.
Meanwhile, while you're trying to block the snake, the bear's eating everything in your fucking kitchen. So,
yeah, but you can't win. So what? And you can go buy more food. You can't go buy, at least not in places that I know of, you can't buy that kind of equipment.
Oh, I'm sure there's a black market out there for testicles and penises.
Have you ever been told that you look like someone famous?
Yes, several times.
Who?
Usually not very flattering, though.
Yeah, I figured. It's probably not good. Who did you get?
Well, I'm trying to think. I get a lot of local people. I get there was a former NBA basketball player who I'm sure you're not going to know and other people aren't going to know. His name's Mitch McGarry. I get Eric Montross. He's another comfy.
Eric Montross. Okay, you're 5'10" tops. Eric Montross is 7 foot. I can understand that, like, nobody's confusing you for somebody who's 7 feet tall. Were you sitting down?
I'm not talking necessarily about the body and with him. I have gotten, and I'm not proud of this, Chris Farley.
Yeah, you do. But not even Chris Farley. Like, Chris Farley's broke brother. I don't know if he has a brother or not, but he'd be like.
He does, but.
Does he?
Yeah. An older brother, I think, that's still alive.
Wow, why you got to go there?
I mean, is it too soon already?
Kind of. I feel like it actually is still for Chris Farley.
Like, who do you look like?
Everybody always laughs when I say this, but I want to qualify this by whenever somebody says I look like somebody, it always happens like back to back within the space of a couple days. And I get a really good one followed by like a really bad one right afterwards. I don't even want to say because I know that people are just going to be like, oh, okay, whatever. But I've gotten like, for example, I've gotten like Tom Cruise and then gotten the guy off of Dazed and or Half Baked like an hour later. Like I don't.
The comedian, right?
What's yeah. I had Jim yeah. Brewer. Like I've gotten like Tom Cruise. I've gotten like Matthew McConaughey and Jim Brewer in the same day. Like, wait a minute. What's fucking happening here?
Oh, that's awesome.
Ooh, have you ever met an angles person? Like if you get somebody, if you look at them from one angle, they're like, whoa, it's a good looking dude or girl. You get them another angle, you're like, oh.
I mean, yeah, I think everybody has. I've also done the thing, you know, where you're, you know, see somebody from a distance and you're like, okay, she looks pretty. And then you get close, you're like, oh, that's not a woman.
I've never done that.
Better hair than any girl I've ever met. How the fuck did that happen?
Some people have fantastic hair. Do you want to continue or do you want to keep driving or do you want me to take over?
I just want it to be known that I mean, for being put on the spot, which you always put me on, I did pretty good there.
You didn't. Let's leave it at you didn't fail horribly.
Let me ask you a question, seeing as our top five this week.
Wait a minute. Are you doing a segment? Are you? Because if you're going to start one of your segments, then I need music.
No. Am I driving the ship? I'm just asking you a question.
Well, if you're driving, you shouldn't have. If you're truly driving the ship, you shouldn't have if you asked to. If you're driving a car, you should know you're driving the car.
So with our top five this week, which is going to be mistakes that we make over and over, which
yeah.
I put a lot of thought and effort into my list. I'm sure yours is going to be something that you are probably doing right now. But with mistakes that you make over and over, I want to ask, is there anything that you think you do on a regular basis that is exceptional?
No.
There isn't one thing that you think that you would like stand up in the middle of a crowd and say, I am good at being a father every day, or I'm good at taking a gigantic shit, you know, every you know, couple of days.
No.
Interesting. Okay.
I honestly don't think that on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't think I get above an 8. I don't think I give above. I probably don't get above an 8 on anything. I really don't.
See, I don't agree with that. I think you're a little hard on yourself there. I mean,
I think you probably haven't met that many people then.
You're a down player, I think. You're a realist. However, I also think you downplay yourself sometimes. I think you're good at quite a bit.
No,
For instance, I've never met another human being in my life that can swing a sword like you can.
We'll see, but that's a great example. Like, obviously, you haven't met very many people because I can swing a sword at a piece of fruit pretty well in a backyard, but you've obviously never met, like, a ninja master. That's why I'm saying, like, I think that there are massive levels to something. And the person that you personally know that's really good at something, there's a whole nother level of somebody who's great at it. And then there's a whole nother level beyond that at somebody who's exceptional. That's why I couldn't honestly look inside myself. I'd actually lower it down to a 7.
I mean, but I don't think it's fair to base yourself on, you know, the masters or everybody else. I mean,
your competition. Like, I'm pretty good compared to the guy next to me.
No, but I mean, like, you're a good swordsman. But you're never going to be in an arena with a ninja.
How do you know? You don't know that about my life. You don't know where I'm going to be next week. Let me ask you this question. What percent of your day do you think you spend doing stuff you don't want to do?
Well, I think I need clarification. Is it when you say stuff I don't want to do, does that include, like, just responsibilities, things that I have to do?
Sure.
85% of my day.
Wow, that's what I was going to say, too. It's kind of crazy to think. I was thinking about that. Like, I'm probably about 80 to 90%. 80 to 90% of your life is spent doing stuff you don't really want to be doing.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like my job, but you figure you spend, you know what, 10 hours a day, including commute, at your job for most people. So that's almost 50% right there.
Probably.
And then you have to cook dinner. You know, you want to eat, but who really wants to cook every day?
Yeah.
And then if you have a child, you're up early. You know, and then sometimes you're up late with them. I mean, nobody technically wants to do that, even though you love your kids.
I would agree. No, I think it's a shockingly high percentage when you think about it.
I think anyone that tells you that they love their life 100% from, like, they get up at 4 a.m. and don't go to bed till 11 p.m., but they love every second of it, is full of shit.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely lying. Are you ready to do one of your segments?
Sure. Let's start off with the you have to answer one or the other here. So
okay, well, let's start off with some music.
I know the music. You know what? I actually had some music that I was gonna cue up, but I figure I'm gonna hold it till next week because I want to give my voice another chance here. I was thinking of some melodies.
Okay, let's hear it.
So here we go. Here we go. Bum bum bum. Bum 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum. Anyways, so first one is, if you had to choose between Taco Bell or Del Taco, what are you going with?
Taco Bell.
Any particular reason?
Because it's Taco Bell.
Well, I would actually say Del Taco, but that's just me. You have to participate in one or the other. The Carry Your Wife Championships in England, or the National Thumb Wrestling Tournament held in Maryland.
Okay, are we talking about my wife specifically, or are we going to talk about anybody? What's the weight limit on a wife?
I mean, we'll say your wife, who is not a large, who is not.
No, my wife's like a 100.
Medium sized woman.
My wife's 100 pounds. I'm taking the carrier. That's easy choice.
But I mean, aren't you kind of like, wouldn't you kind of be intrigued just to see like a national thumb wrestling championship?
Like, who's the best in the world at thumb wrestling? There's just that's one of those things that like there's no way that person is really the best in the world at thumb wrestling. They're the best person who happened to be free on that Saturday and decided to do this.
I mean, I don't disagree with you on that. And then last but not least, would you rather get hit in the swell of the back by a Roger Clemens fastball about 100 miles an hour, or be standing underneath a basketball rim and have Shaquille O'Neal dunk on you and fall on top of you while he's dunking?
I would go with Shaquille O'Neal, to be honest with you. I mean, you're getting hit by a baseball. I don't know how much you know about physics. I know a good deal. Whenever you're dealing with a smaller, harder object that has a lot of velocity, you're just not going to have a lot of give. Like, Shaquille O'Neal is going to dunk on you. The ball is going to go through the net. That's going to slow it down before it hits you. He's going to hit the ground somewhat, and that's going to kind of slow things down. So, like, he's going to be a big dude, but I don't think that's going to be – and gravity can only move him so fast, right? He can only generate so much force. And as you know, E equals MC squared. So I think that obviously Shaquille O'Neal is the way to go.
All right. I would rather get hit with a baseball, but that's just because I've been hit with a ton of baseballs in my life. Never any near that mile per hour, but I would have to think that would feel a little bit better than having a 350-pound man land on top of me.
Have you had more men on top of you, or have you had more balls to your face?
You know, I actually think I've had more. Well, you know, I did play football for a while, but I think it's probably a pretty fair amount, 50-50 of men on top of me and balls in my face. Maybe at the same time. I don't really remember.
Oh, you know what? That's absolute proof that no matter how old you are, you're still really only six. You're just 6 years old no matter what happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everybody can agree that a good dick or you know, sexual or ball joke is they're the best.
Do women not have the equivalent of those kind of jokes? Do they not make them, or do they just not say them around us? You don't hear a lot of like good female genitalia jokes.
Well, I don't know if I even know of any.
Yeah, I don't know of any.
That a woman would say to another woman and, like, start laughing because it's funny.
Like, ha, 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 my... I don't even know the... Man, did
yeah,
you...
I don't... How about we just move on? Yeah. You have to delete this whole 5 minutes.
Okay. Are we done? Are we ready for top five? What's going on?
No, we're on to the social media.
Okay.
So let's start off. This is a poll that we actually posted today, which would have been Saturday, about, say you're going to a bonfire, and what drink would you bring? Surprisingly, as of this taping, beer was tied with pop or water.
I saw that poll that you put up there. What I don't understand is why you actually put soda, pop, and then water. You've combined two things, so you don't, like, of course that one's going to win. You've put more options in there. Like, would you rather have $1 million and a massage, or would you rather get hit by a car?
Well, first off, I put pop / soda because if I only put pop...
Everybody knows what it is. Nobody's going to be like, soda? What the hell is that?
Technically, soda pop is one thing, so you can suck it, all right?
This is just a misguided poll. It's a classic example of poor data input.
I mean, listen, you know, it's getting votes, all right? Okay. Someone is caring about my 2 minutes of hard work, okay?
All right. We're going to talk about that later, by the way.
No, I mean, let's just bring it up now. That's one of them on my list to talk about. You might as well just get your insult out of the way right now.
What I don't understand about it is you had what was probably going to be the best poll question that you've ever put up there, which was, do you think, what's better, saying buh-bye or bye-bye? And you accidentally misspelled it and put bug-bye. What I don't understand about that is why didn't you just fix it? Like, you had an opportunity to really do something great. Instead, you got stubborn and you refused to change it, and then it wasn't good.
Because and you know, I forget who it was that commented on it, or one of our polls in the past that I put up, and I think I spelled or did something wrong, and he said, "Don't delete it. Only cowards delete things." I want to say maybe it was Mike Westfall.
Yeah, I believe that sounds correct.
But so you know what? I manned up. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, I don't care. And then we ended up actually getting, even though bye-bye won, we got a couple people who thanked me for my mix-up and said that now they're going to start using bug-bye instead of, you know, their normal sign-off.
Well, they were just insulting you, and you took it as a compliment, which makes the insult even better.
Well, shit, then. I thought this one was a good one. Which one was classier? Another poll, a sausage or a hot dog? Sausage won out.
Are you ready for this top five yet?
Hold on. I got a couple more things here. I kicked your ass yet again in the poll. I won 56 to 44 on Facebook.
That's not kicking your ass. That's like beating somebody in basketball 102 to 98. It's
no, that's not even close. And then got some good stuff on Instagram this week, and our unofficial sponsor seems like they're coming back in the picture, Long John Silver's.
Long John Silver's loves us. I don't – for anybody who listens to this show, support Long John Silver's. And if you tweet Long John Silver's, they will absolutely message you back. So our top five this week is going to be top five things, top five mistakes you essentially keep making. Like, you know you shouldn't do this thing. You do it anyway, you get a bad result, you tell yourself, I shouldn't do that, and then you do it again and again, and the cycle continues. What's your number five?
So this is a drinking mistake that I always always do, and it's I always choose beer to start off the day and always usually end with some kind of liquor.
You never heard that that saying? I think it goes like, beer before liquor, never sicker. Liquor before beer, you're in the clear.
Of course I've heard it, but do you think I pay attention?
I almost wanted to jump in because my number five is just straight. It just says tequila.
Yeah, I like tequila, but I can also see how it can lead to mistakes over and over and over again.
I think that everybody has a tequila night where they can think and imagine taking a tequila shot and just do that like thing. What's your number four?
I don't really know how to put it, so I have using my credit card way too much still.
God, I just have financial decisions for my number four. But yeah, I would agree with that. We're like,
matching each other?
We're in lockstep. What's your number three then?
I know you're not going to have this one because this is just me being a dumbass. But where I live, a lot of the roads are dependent on like which county you're in. So it might be like John Avenue in Oakland County, but as soon as you switch over, that road turns to Nick Avenue. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So I have a set of roads that go north or south near me, and for the life of me, I still haven't figured them out. I still like panic, and I want to go up Crooks, but instead I make a right up Coolidge, and then as I'm driving down Coolidge, I'm like, wait a second, this isn't Crooks, motherfucker! I do that probably three times a week. Like, I just cannot figure out these roads. Unless I'm literally staring at, like, a paper map.
And you've lived in Detroit all your life, basically.
Yes.
It's weird that your number three has to deal with driving. My number three is also driving. My number three is distracted driving. Where you're like, I know I shouldn't check this message. Okay, I'm going to check this message. Oh, shit,
yeah,
I shouldn't have done that.
I try my best not to do that, but there are points, I agree with you, where you're stopped at a stoplight and like I'm looking down and I'm responding to a message or checking an email or social media or whatever, and then you look up and it's been green for like, you know, 10 seconds or something, or you know, it's definitely a mistake.
How long before, if you're behind somebody at a green light, the light goes green, how long are you giving them before you hit them with a honk?
Do you remember my parking lot stories about how I always chicken out?
Yeah Yeah.
I am like a prolonged honker. Like, if I honk at you, it means that, like, something's wrong. I try to be as patient as I can while driving. I will usually wait one light cycle, And then if, like, it turns green again and you don't go, then I'll start honking at you.
Are you serious? You're going to wait a whole – you would sit behind somebody for a whole light and not honk?
Well, I mean, that yes, but that's only in instances where, like, I can't go around them. But, yes, if, like, traffic is that backed up in, you know, either lane, I can't get around them. I'll usually wait a light cycle.
You would sit behind somebody for, let's say, 30 to 45 seconds just sitting there? What are you doing the whole time?
Trying to analyze, like, them. Like, if it, you know, like, if I look in the car and it's, like, an 80-year-old woman, I might give her a little honk, you know? It all depends on who's in the driver's seat, I guess. I try to avoid confrontation when driving.
So you're a profile honker. Like, you profile somebody before you honk.
I guess you could say that.
I don't even understand that. Why don't you just give them, like, the little, like, the quick, like, the thump? When you just barely touch it and it makes the small sound.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have done that. I just, I try not to, at all costs.
I just don't understand. I couldn't sit there for like 30 seconds. Is your wife in the car?
Usually if she's in the car, she reaches over and does it for me.
Yeah, I would.
She does not have the same patience level that I have.
Have you ever reached over and inappropriately really honks somebody's car, and then the driver, like, turns around and looks at the driver, and they about try, like, you've never done that?
I've never honked like that, no.
I had a buddy, shout out to Ryan Brennan, who had a car that you could easily put in neutral without him realizing it, and you could just bump the shifter because it was old, and it would go into neutral, you just hear this,
Oh, I know Ryan. He probably got all red-faced.
Oh, he's a red-facer, too. I love a good red-facer where their face is just like, looks like it's about to explode. They get the vein. Oh, those are the best people to mess with. What's your number two?
So this is personal yet again, but I probably don't listen to my wife as much as I should.
What a weenie answer.
Like, you know, I don't listen the first time. Or, like, she'll say something, and I was like, oh, that's great, that's great. And then 2 days later, she'll say, hey, remember when you agreed to this? And I'd be like, no, I didn't.
That's a mistake.
But I did agree to it.
My number two, it doesn't really apply to me now that I'm married, but drunk texting an ex.
That's a great one, man. That's a good one, for sure.
Ooh. I've fought really hard to not put that at number one, but number one is just too dominant for me. But I think everybody knows that they, like, don't text them, shouldn't text them, shouldn't message them. Ah, shit. 2 a.m.
I always wonder, like, when you're at a bar, and, I mean, I've probably been to this point as well. You know, you see the people that are just sitting, like, alone.
100%
chance. On their phone.
100%.
And I always wonder, like, Are they just, like, you know, drunk texting the wrong person right now?
100% they're texting someone they shouldn't have been texting. 100% chance. What's your number one?
So it's not flashy by any means, but it's personal, and it's always – I always, like, have the greatest intentions of starting a diet. And then within a day or two later, I always go off of it, whether it's eating something or not working out. It's always a mistake. Every time, like, I'm just not prepared or I'm not dedicated enough. Like, that's the biggest mistake, I think, is just trying to be healthier and, you know, you just don't do it.
Mine's kind of like that. I put procrastination where you're like, I know I shouldn't wait till the last second. And then you wait till the last second. It's a disaster. And then the next time you wait till the last second again.
Yeah, I mean, procrastination is a good one. I mean, I think it's all encompassing. I mean, we've all been there.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
You know, I don't really, but I tell you, now that I think about it, the drunk texting is a really good one. You know, I think anything involving alcohol probably should go, you know, under the mistake category for most of us.
The only other one I thought of is any kind of buffet under $7.99. It's a mistake.
That's another good one, actually. I didn't. When's the last time you ate at a buffet?
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. I feel like you don't eat buffets after the age of like 30, really.
when buffets are a young man's game. Start hardening.
Yeah, once your arteries are good and blocked, you really can't eat at buffets anymore. I want to end on a joke. Why should you never buy Velcro?
Why is that?
It's a ripoff.
Okay, that's going to go ahead and do it for this episode of the Profoundly Pointless Podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. If you get a chance, like, download, subscribe, share. We love hearing from you guys. We've got our website, profoundlypointless.com, and we're Profoundly Pointless on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We love hearing the comments that we get from you guys. I want to remind you really quickly, we do have that new weekly giveaway that we're going to be doing, I think, this entire year, where tell us the dumbest thing that you did, and we will reward your stupidity. Coming up in our next episode, we just taped the interview a couple of days ago, but our next guest said one of the most shocking things that I have ever heard in an interview. I couldn't believe it.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.